Okay, another Tuesday we are going to have the discussion, maybe for about 1 hour, English medium. We are going to go for Sutta Nipata Attaka Vagga, Guhatta Sutta, last time we finished. And if there are any other comments before going to the book, I am waiting, otherwise we are going to go to the book.
Srai Bhante, we received two reports on Zoom. With your permission, I can present them. Dear Bhante, I am 14 years old and have been practicing for 2.5 years. This is my experience. Please advise me. When meditating or even in everyday life, I enter a state of oblivion or blankness. I often reach there by watching my breath while sitting, standing, or in any position. As I direct the awareness to my breath, awareness of the other senses and possible distractions go away. When this happens, I go into a state of nothingness. The nothingness can be described as an empty room where only the awareness is there. This does not mean there's nothing else there. It's that the awareness is not in those things. Whether it is time, objects, or in anything around me, even thoughts, I do not take notice of those things. There is not even an I in the nothingness, just the awareness of being aware. It is a state of just being. How long the nothingness lasts is not something I can control. When I come out of this state, I realize that there is nothing I have full control over. And most of the time, when I am not being mindful, that makes me frustrated. But in that state of nothingness, control does not exist and is not needed, as I have no claim to the nothingness. It is simply a state of being that I can retreat into. I find that after practicing mindfulness, there is an aware that is always there within me. However, I cannot pinpoint where it is. I am content with this state and it does not bother me. Although I am not sure that I should not do next, I am not in a rush to progress and wish to discover more about mindfulness at the pace I am going in. Theruvan Saranai, Hashini. That's the end of the report.
Ari, you have to repeat from the frustrated onward.
Yes, Bhante. Let me find the word frustrated. Where was this?
In the last one third.
Yes. I am not being mindful that makes me frustrated, but in that state of nothingness, control does not exist and is not needed, as I have no claim to the nothingness. It is simply a state of being that I can retreat into. I find that after practicing mindfulness, there is an awareness that is always there within me. However, I cannot pinpoint where it is. I'm content with this state and it does not bother me. Although I am not sure what I should do next, I'm not in a rush to progress and wish to discover more about mindfulness at the pace I am going in. Theruvan Saranai, Hashini.
So that, what is the name? Ashini.
Hashini.
Hashini. 14 years, girl. So I am so happy because I started at the 28, even just the mere attention. Now at the 14, you have done 2.5 years meditation. The starting point is very, very positive. And the frustration is your entering point. Because even if you go to the nothingness, frustration exists. Frustration appears like the opposite of the nothingness. And still you say you are not rushing for development. And you are ready to progress, and nothingness is the hiatus. Frustration is the hiatus. That will give you your personality trait, character trait, your director dispositions. Because you are frustrated because lack of mindfulness. So that means your next lesson is not the mindfulness, but the lack of mindfulness. Absence of mindfulness. That is a greater lesson than the presence of mindfulness, because only those who know the mindfulness only can focus and can plan for lack of mindfulness. So therefore, unmindfulness is a shadow of mindfulness. Very crucial. Sometimes that is the most controversial point. And very theoretical, I would say very, very philosophical, very, very religious. So therefore, please take a copy of your own report, and frustration onward, you can see, you know who you are within yourself, not the superficial external tip of the iceberg. Now you know the iceberg. The access point is frustration. Frustration onward is not meditation. You are just giving your commentaries. I agree with your commentaries. But frustration is frustration. So therefore, I know that is the point you must give special attention. Simply put, I would say, go to meditation. Be prepared for the frustration. You will write a marvelous report next time. Thank you. We are moving.
Yes, Bhante. This report is from Harshini's sister. Dear Bhante, I am 17 years old and I have been practicing meditation for the past 2 years. At some stage in my meditation, I could enter into a state of nothingness and simply existing. However, this is my experience now. Please advise me. Sitting meditation. I started off my sitting down and closing my eyes as usual. I grounded myself and waited for my thoughts, which has become my predominant focus lately. However, this time it felt different. This time I started to feel through my senses. All my senses worked one after the other to extend my awareness from within me to my surroundings. My awareness shifted between the tightness of my arms to the sound of the fan, to the shifting lighting of my environment. Last time I wrote you, asked me whether I could see the ending of thoughts, and I know that the ending was an ending and not another thought my mind conjured up. This is my answer to it. Throughout this meditation, I did not have thoughts in between, attempting to analyze what I am experiencing through my senses. I could see that my attention shifted between the senses and my thoughts, and I could see that they didn't happen all at once. However, I could not clearly see the ending of thoughts and beginning of feelings. But this time, looking back, I was able to identify that my thoughts have ended because I could feel a distinct contrast between thought and experiencing through sensation. I don't know how to explain it or how to describe what I felt, but I can say that when my attention was feeling directed towards feeling, there was no thoughts. Therwan Saranai. Onaya. This is the end of the report, Bhante.
So Onaya is hesitant to say the age. More you become elderly, you will not mention about the age. You will just say the birthday for the birth. 17. Yeah. So the very interesting, the gradual development from the younger sister to elderly sister. What I have to say is, as far as you can see things separately, that means you have a border from the edge of the thing, margin, the limitation, boundaries. As far as boundaries are there, I is there. I is there, things are separate from each other. But sometimes in the meditation, they merge each other, and the thought become a feeling, feeling become a sound, sound become a visual, and everything appear like a jam, everything appear like a sauce, everything appear like a salad. And then it is vomitish. It's very frustrating. And you don't know, from the discrete knowledge only, we go to into the indiscriminate things that is called the system. That's called the whole macro picture. When everything go to the macro picture, single thing has no individual identity, no intrinsic characteristic, no boundary. The first time I struck the idea by Ken Wilber's the book No Boundary. This is the most read book in Nilambe library, and all the turns, edge of the pages are rolled, and people call book has gone to dogs. Very difficult to borrow. And now I have my personal copy, No Boundaries. Whenever you become no boundary, you are just like a drop of water inside the sea or grain of sand on the sand bed. You lose your identity. When you are losing your identity, you lose the boundary of objects. But learning, education is putting boundaries, learning physics, chemistry and everything. And whenever you come up to a Nobel winner's laureates, you lose everything. So mindfulness is going from boundary to no boundary. Known to unknown. Self to non-self. Explainable to unexplainable. But if you are not mindful, you will say this is lost. But for the mindfulness, a huge gain, your essay is 75% supporting my idea. So start with the boundary, very specific, very intrinsic, personal characteristic. More you go to that, quickly you go to nothingness or losing the boundaries. And more you bring that changeover point, early part of your meditation, you have enough energy. If it is happening after 45 minutes, 55 minutes, you think that meditation is gone, energy gone, everything dissolved, everything, how do you call it, merged, loose boundary. That is what is starting. But later you will say, soon use it, either you can see either with boundary or without boundary. With boundary leading to the without boundary. Without boundary is an advanced stage. That is what I have to say. But I am so happy your generation, you people, you children are really, really, really smart than us. So therefore continue to do. And most important thing, darling, writing reports. So that's all I have to share with you all.
Thank you, Bhante.
Okay. We have taken about 15 minutes. So we have another maybe 45 minutes for the discussion. If there are no other remarks, I will cordially invite Venerable Buddha Rakhita to present the theory part as the direction for the discussion. Please.
So again, I'm going to start reading the octet on the hostile, which is page 293 of Bhikkhu Bodhi's translation. And this is from the chapter of eighth, and it's called Dutataka Sutta. Some speak with hostile minds, while some speak with minds bent on truth. The Muni does not become involved in an arisen dispute. Therefore, the Muni has no barrenness anywhere. How could one transcend one's own view if, drawn by desire, one is entrenched in a preference? Taking one's own view to be perfect, one would speak as one understands. So, again, I've reread the first verse in this because there's a coherence to this whole sutta. As I just remind people again, it's quite an astonishing situation. The ascetics of other sects have basically persuaded a beautiful female white-robed wanderer named Sundari to act in a provocative way around the Jeta's grove and to create a division where the ordinary people who have been very inspired and supportive of the Buddha and the Sangha, they want to create suspicion in their minds by having this this beautiful white-robed wanderer bathed and clothed and adorned in garlands and perfume and lotions, basically creating the suggestion that she's been pleasuring the monks and the Buddha. And after some period of time, a half a month, it says, the sectarians had her killed and buried in a pit. And in the morning, they raised an uproar saying that they hadn't seen Sundari. And then they reported the matter to the king, who got permission to enter Jeta's grove. And wandering around, they exhumed her body and put her on a stretcher and brought her to the city and made a complaint. So that day, as the night was coming to an end, the Blessed One said, the sectarians will defame us. I should not let the multitude believe them, set their minds against us, and thereby head towards a rebirth in the realm of misery. So it's in face of this like extraordinary situation that that these verses are being spoken. So in a way, the Buddha is speaking these verses to guide the understanding, create a right view and a right attitude in the minds of the bhikkhus who are living with him at that time in Jeta's grove, to calm them down, to give them an orientation, to give them a path to follow. But also you can see the incredible presence of mind of the Buddha. You know, here comes a great challenge that would normally engulf and sweep most people away. You know, to be so defamed, to be so, to be caught in such a manipulation, such a political and tragic kind of circumstance, that they would be grieving and complaining and saying, you know, why me, and who's saying all this? And but instead, he the Buddha is able to chart a very clear course through this, but also penetrate through to the underlining wisdom. So some speak with hostile minds. This is the sectarians. While some speak with minds bent on truth. So his own, his own monks would be saying that they were not at fault. That the truth is that we're not at fault. So here the Buddha is charting this amazing course between the sectarians and his own monks, describing clearly their situation. One is hostile and the other is bent on truth. But the Muni does not become in an arisen dispute. So here the challenge is to not become involved. And he doesn't mean being avoidant and numbing or something like this. He means to not take sides. Not take sides between truth and hostility. So this is a tremendous challenge. Therefore, the Muni has no barrenness anywhere. So this barrenness is referring to greed, hatred, or delusion. That these qualities of the mind, the Buddha describes as being barren. But barren, yeah. Barren, meaning like not fruitful. No, barren, yeah. Like a mountaintop. Unfertile land, yes, no fertility at all. So this barrenness as well can also be described as the five types of barrenness, which include anger with your fellow monastics. So this anger with fellow monastics is also viewed as not fertile. And how could one transcend one's own view if drawn by desire? One is entrenched in a preference. So how can we transcend our view? Like, this is the goal of the Buddha's path, is to transcend one's view. And because our own view is entrapping us within the world, what we need is a kind of a world-transcending view, not our own personal view. And so this is yathabhutadasana, and this is like seeing things as they really are. So seeing things as they really are is not entrenched within one's own view. If you are entrenched in your own view, you will fail to see the world as it really is. So you will fail to see that one group has hostile minds and the other group is bent on truth, and neither are seeing things as they really are. So if drawn by desire... Here again is a reference back to the noble truths. Drawn by desire. This is the second noble truth, that we are drawn by desire. One is entrenched in a preference. So it's entrenched. You know, it's like a war. You have trenches and you are entrenched. Therefore, taking one's own view to be perfect, one would speak as one understands. So your understanding is shaped by your views. And of course, we think our own view is perfect. And we fail to understand or see the perspective of others, the other person's point of view. Now, the Buddha is not saying that the other person's point of view is correct and our own point of view is incorrect, or that our own view is correct and the other person's view is incorrect. He's saying that we need to kind of transcend our own views and other people's views, and we have to see things as they really are. So then this is a tremendous effort, because we have to transcend this natural tendency to become entrenched, and drawn by desire into preferences around our own views. So maybe we can hear what Mahathera has to say on these first two verses.
This translation gives another shade of meaning. The first thing is Vadantiche Dutta Manapi Eke. Some people directly talk with the malice,
malevolent idea, and they are the cause. They are the people sent Sundari, they are the people decorated Sundari, and without knowing Sundari, eat it, purchased it, ultimately they killed her and put under the flower garbage and let it rot. And all these things are happening with the Dutta. And the, meanwhile, they are just waiting, telling, what happened to Sundari? Yeah? What happened to Sundari? Shall we go to the king and let, because we can't go to the Jetavana, other papers I can check it, but they have no clue. Shall we go? So king says, yes, why not? I get the permission, you can go. Oh, yes, Sundari's body is there. And they bring it openly and they are talking. Then the other part is, Atopiche Satcha Manavadanti. They think this is truth. They are innocent people. They say the Sundari's body is there. We saw Sundari. And then they think it is truth. But they are very innocent people. This is what the social media is doing today. They are giving a complete manifested information. That is what some people call the conspiracy theory. They make news and they prepared. And ultimately, very innocent people, they say they are talking with the evidence. Why not? But they think it's the truth. Not they love truth. They give the face value of the truth, what is written to tell in the media. And what's the wise advice of the Buddha? So let that thing happen by itself. Don't answer back. And don't be passive and don't be, how do you call, ajnanupekka, callous. And just wait. We will do as it is. But when Ananda says, don't go out, we'll go out another place. Then the Buddha says that also this can happen because now Buddha become popular. So people are in the tarnishing work. So therefore being there is no chance for appeal court, no chance for the next place to happen the same manifestation. And there you are not frustrated and withdrawn back. You just do as usual. But Buddha's disciples also come and say, but Bhante, what a thing. Whole world is believing that you all are entertained Sundari and your disciples. And you say that we'll wait and see. Just wait and see. And that is what the Buddha's wise answer. And Ananda, Venerable Ananda, is Sotapanna, he is agitated. He can't see that when the people find fault with the Buddha and blackguarding Buddha and kind of thing, do something. But this is, we are doing something, yes, very effectively, but not doing something. So this is what present day this patriotic Buddhist fellows can't understand. Therefore, the World Street magazine, it says, Nibbanic terrorism. They are terrorists. First terrorist group happened in the Bangladesh. I can't remember the name. They are the only armed terrorist happen in Chittagong. That's one name, very ancient. They are living on mountain. They are Buddhist. But all the other people, the non-Buddhist, government is non-Buddhist, so they are being harassed. But now Burma, Thailand, Sri Lanka, all the three countries are being named as Nibbanic terrorism. And one of our writer, he told, they says, after they publish this Nibbanic terrorist story, you can expect some upheaval about Buddhists killing others. This is the way they provoke to make the news truth. Okay? And then Buddhists must understand these terms. Buddha says, now they declared, in time to come, Buddhists are going to take arms and going to fight. And if we are not going to do, they provoke us. And then action, reaction, and the answer. That is the three system in the conspiracy theories explain. So when you are looking at it, as verily Venerable mentioned last time, they are not worsening the situation. That day also the same theory. Media making. Killing a beautiful girl. Telling she is a prostitute. Telling that this they are making moral shame and the moral fear. So they wanted to make the society clean. Never. they are the people, racketeers, doing all the kind of thing, and girls become vulnerable, monks become vulnerable, news media, they utterly know the truth, but they are making money. That's called bending the truth. So therefore, our teacher says, don't look at newspapers. Simply, no TV, no radio, no newspapers, but of course you can go to the internet and you can see anything. Exactly the same thing happened. Exactly the same thing happened. I also say, as I mentioned last time, Krishnamurti says the society is deteriorating, society is eroded as far as the moral shame and the moral fear is concerned. And bad enough, and I will take a chance in a bigger stage than this, bad trend is, for that we have to develop metta karuna. Have to develop compassionate and the loving kindness. But the Buddha discernibly, he says, only you have to do is add the clear comprehension. Mindfulness is the clear comprehension will only develop moral shame and the moral fear. The balming part is the metta karuna. That is why mindfulness is going to equate with the kindfulness and the value of the metta. Yes, that's the limited value. But the clear answer, go back to the course, is the Sati Sampajanya. This gatha, whole sutta, is confirming it. These things can happen. These things that newsmakers and newsmongers and carrying tales and all the kind of thing, well predictable. Because people are like that. They are gullible people. But the truth, the Sati Sampajanya, is like a post. Well-driven, is not shaken by air. So therefore, Sampajanya, what is the relationship between Sampajanya and Sati, is the highest topic, most hot topic today in the Western mindfulness world. And recently, I got an article from Bhikkhu Bodhi. He is brainstorming to see the relationship between the mindfulness by itself is with the clear comprehension, or while it is developing, with the clear comprehension come into being, should someone get involved, not by mere mindfulness, but to add clear comprehension. The Buddha says clear comprehension and the mindfulness is the utter base for the moral shame and the moral fear. So, from the bare attention, from the mere mindfulness, how the clear comprehension come into being is fairly discussed in the Power of Mindfulness. And he says, partly it is natural process. Whenever you become mindful, you see the situation. Ultimately, you can withdraw back with the bird's eye view. Everything happens, but you are just observing choicelessly. And then you can understand they are happening in an orderly manner. Not someone's manipulations. Human mind is weak in that. Some people take the mean advantage of it. But you are not going to take the mean advantage. You are not take this as a truth. Instead, you see again and again, be mindful about that. Again and then you can see the how you can go back to the root. Going back to the root is comprehension. Giving the openness is mindfulness. Therefore, it says mindfulness is like a blind, hefty person. And the clear comprehension is a crawling person with eyed. So he has to climb upon the mindfulness. Then both can go. The person up there is with eyes, but legs are crippled. The lower person carrying the blind person is blind, but he's been guided by this thing. So therefore, mindfulness by itself is not clear comprehension. Contented by itself. But it is the most relative, close thing for the clear comprehension to arise. Present day, very sorry to say, education is clearly cut off clear comprehension. They are direct into physics, chemistry and by idiots. But overall development, three-dimensional development, they can't comprehend. Because the syllabus writers are narrow-minded people. They have their own aims. But now they know if something directed like that, it is misdirected. So therefore, let the child,
Let the mindful person to be open. Some people talk it with the duttaka manasa, hateful mind. Other people just take it into grant, this is the truth. They are innocent people. Because this is the only source. Because Buddha is not going to give you, not giving an alternative. He just wait. So, is there any responsibility of the Buddha to tell the people, this is wrong, be patient? No. Don't do it. If it is so, it will be positive for the story carriers, storytellers. Just wait. So, the people taken into grant is vulnerable. Buddha is not responsible. Buddha is asking us, Buddha is asking his disciple, just rabbit you, just wait. You just wait. And that is inaction. Action in inaction. And that is the thing we can't do because of defilement. Defilement means you cannot just be wait. That is the defilement. There is no other because of fear. But the Buddha, Tasma Muni Natti Kilo Kuhinchi, the Buddha, the sage, there's no thorns, no darts, no fear, no difficulty, just wait. Consider this is a natural thing in the society, as far as we are in the society. So therefore, this is a very good, we must train this. Nowadays we have Satipasala, yesterday we started a media workshop. 138 children participating, media people come and say how this is a presentation, this visual, this is sounds and kind of thing. So we have to tell them, this is what the society is. People are making news and ultimately they are killing someone. They don't care it. But attribution is to the innocent Sangha. And if the Sangha get agitated, they are winning. The story makers. So they have done a very good experiment. I'm sorry, sometimes you may find the source. In America, they have done, I found it in 1996, but it may be early one. Person is Dan Brown, not the Dan Brown stories. And he says they have done a research at the grade 4. They have taught the children, if the teacher is not there, we'll say he's a bullying person. So I am while doing, he is coming and doing this and that and make me angry. Hitting me or throwing a piece of paper or something like that. And then class become agitated. So teacher told them twice a week, once in 2 weeks, if you get agitated, you are losing the game. If you are not getting agitated, he is losing the game. He tried to provoke you, you are not. So they have done the research, I mean, in 2 years. And after 2 years, they have done a social survey as to whether children got it by the psychological marker. And one girl became so smart. And they told that she got the highest mark, ask her to talk. Can you please share it with your peer group? What is the game and how you win? He says, don't worry, that cannot be taught. People catch, other people never. Then he says, how can you tell like that? We told you 2 years to continuously, we are very elderly. Why can't you share with your peer group? Please listen. This is not a lesson you can teach. You can learn, but you can't teach. Then he says, why don't you share it with an example? We are asking you, pleading you. Would you mind? And after pausing up and down, she says, when someone is teaching me, I just look at his heart or mind. I see a pool with lot of ripples, lot of waves. And I look at mine, I feel still for a pool. So my aim is not get ripple to get infested me. That's it. So they told, this is what we meant. You are teaching with others, but I doubt whether others can understand what I am telling. If someone is teasing you, main thing is not to worry. And that is what the turtle means. That is why the mimosa, when you someone touch you, close the hand, that is thorny plant, mimosa pudica. I don't know what the name, common name you are telling. And that is what happens. Elephant herd also the same. Any threat happen, everyone becomes silent and the chieftain try to get the smell. And all the others must be silent till he give the flight to fight. And the young elephant, young cubs running up and down, they hit them and take it to the herd and just wait. But what is happening in the human being? Fighting, fighting, fighting. That is a petrol bomb. You throw a bomb, people get agitated and everyone come into look into a second bomb. This is what happens. So therefore the Buddha's wisdom is, they do because of their heart agitated. Their mind is agitated. Their pool is with frills and thrills and waves and high tide and low tide. And they can't just wait. They wanted to others also to get the same disease. So we monks and we mendicants must understand they are always provoking it. Not enough, they wanted to infest it. So main thing is not to worry, telling, but don't say you are completely ignorant and you are aware. You are just awake. Fully awake, it is happening. You know it is teasing you, but you are not reacting. It is not sleeping. It is not completely withdrawing. You are in the scene. We are in the stage. But just let it happen. Don't manipulate. Then only he will exhaust, finished. Upandita Sayadaw says, when a culprit comes into the court, you first ask, are you a culprit or not? He says, no, I am innocent. Then only the court started. And then when slowly, slowly witnesses are coming to the court, everyone understands he is lying. But the judge must not overpower him. Let the court decide and let that particular person apologize, plead, then he can't go to the second higher grade, higher court appeal because he apologized. Till that must be dragging because his words, ultimately he knows, everyone in the court knows, I am just defending myself fruitlessly. One day he will, yes, learned judge, I know I am in guilty, please give me the least punishment. Don't press them. We have time, we have this thing, you have to accept it. Then he will say, court being forceful to me, therefore I accepted, it is not my idea. So I am going to the higher court. So cut off at that level, just rabbit you, just wait. So that is what I am telling. And I know in my younger age, I always fighting against me. So the truth side, or sometimes I am in the aggressive side. But now I am slowly, slowly understanding this is the nature. I cannot change the world. The world is the world. So why can't you be mindful? Why can't be choicelessly be aware? Mind can't be evenly suspended attention. These people, the best answer is time. Time is the best. So I am so far so successful, specifically with mindful school, because Sri Lanka is not such a calm state to introduce mindfulness to the schools. But so far, tomorrow we are going to start 6 channels, the education department, and they gave us, please give a fillers in between 2 classes, and I am going to give 30 minutes for you. Please teach them what is the mindfulness. So I am lost. I don't know how to teach 1 to 6 children classes, 6 to 9 and 9 to 14, 13 classes. So I am learning. Because I have to understand their mind. It is not a subject. It is not a fire. It is the exam. They have to understand. You just wait. Other classes are telling you have to hurry up and do homework and you get the higher mark and one-upmanship and win-win situation under any circumstances. But the mindfulness is be mindful, be here and now. I mean, this message is there. But very difficult to convince it to a Buddhist. They think Buddhists must be defended. When someone is attacking, you have to go on defense. Upandita Sayadaw says, if the criticism is negative, destructive, don't worry. If it's constructive, adjust yourself. Criticism must be there. That's a dynamic system. So, destructive criticism and constructive criticism, you take it, but here destructive, Buddha says silence is the answer. That is my view, sir.
Hello. Thank you, Buddha Rakhi Bhante and Swami Nansa for presenting the teaching and interpreting it, Swami Nansa. And I thought about hostility is it clouds the mind, and it makes us unable to think clearly, and then I thought about this, in martial arts, if you become agitated or angry or hostile, clouded in your mental functioning, then you can't see clearly what's happening, and you can be defeated by your opponent. So that was one kind of other way of looking at this. So by not assuming, making assumptions, or becoming agitated, you can just wait, like you say, Swami Nansa, and see what, not assume what people are going to do, or what assuming what you should, how you should respond, but just wait and see what happens. And there was one other thing, well, just about assumptions that with mindfulness, if we're trying to focus on what's happening exactly in the moment, we don't jump ahead to the next moment, and so then you can see clearly what's happening right now. And one other thing that I remember in another teaching of the Buddha, that he said, don't accept, if somebody gives you something, gives you a gift or offers you something and you don't accept it, then the other person has to take back what they're giving. If they're offering hostility to you and you don't become hostile, they have to take their hostility with them and carry that, and they just look like they're at fault because you're not becoming angry, you're just calm and not accepting what they're offering. And then you can accept or listen to whatever they're saying and respond to whatever they say clearly and without anger. And so that was just my thoughts on that.
So happy to present Venerable Buddha Rakita and my voice, third voice. So you add this, the martial arts, and it is good. And I heard, as far as the martial arts is concerned, whenever someone is going to punch you, if you can divert it earlier, the better. So when the punch is developing the momentum, very difficult. So you have to have a very clear mind. What is going to do? You are not provoking. You are just waiting. And Nelson Mandela and His Holiness Dalai Lama, they are in our age, they became political leaders because they are not hostile. They are utterly, desperately cornered. Just wait. And His Holiness Dalai Lama is presenting Buddha's view. And Nelson Mandela, he says, no. He was prisoned in his country, in a cell. He was not hostile. And Mahatma Gandhi and everyone, and they are presented as the world leaders, because they can talk to the humanity, not to the communist development or capitalistic development or whatever may be, this non-hostility. and that is there, and children usually are there. Usually they don't know. Even if you hit, they don't know what is the purpose. So, but ultimately they become they are aggressive, hostile, and that is what we are teaching in the education now. They become aggressive. They are tit to tat. And learning martial arts also is a completely wrong idea to hit others. So therefore, the martial arts at an utterly dangerous situation, you are just calming down. You choose his ability and my ability exactly the same. We are potentially the human, but he is agitated, definitely. So if you get infested, you are the loser. So therefore, in meditation, mindfulness itself is not enough. You have to have that kind of a clear comprehension of what he is up to. He is definitely in rivalry, but he is a human. In Sri Lanka, they have started a humanitarian operation. Even the terrorists, they take and says, we all are human, but you are with the wrong idea. So shall we discuss about that? Wrong idea, not fighting each other. And they have rehabilitated 1,400 LTTT soldiers, and they now become natural citizens. And the first time in the world, the humanitarian projects. And now they are going to join with Satipasala and to have that kind of a thing. So we are very happy because we don't know that kind of thing. We know tit to tat, we know nuclear weapons, drones, and all the kind of thing, arm this thing. But we in Sri Lanka, we don't have such a thing. Of course, we may have some arms for the army. But we monks, that's compassion. The Kanti Bala Pabbajita is the term Buddha mentioned. Kanti means the forbearance. That is the power of monk. Kanti Bala Pabbajita. Babuge Bale Andum Bale. For the children, crying is the one. Rajuge Bale Senaga Bale. King's one is the army. And Kanti Bale Pabbajita, for the recluse, the forbearance. So it's a well-known, everlasting, persistent Dhamma. I mean, they are what you call sasata, they will never disappear. They are the truth. And what we are learning, what are the subjects we are learning? Everything is, you must react very fast. So ultimately what we are losing is no managers for today in the companies. They don't have management technique. But they get agitated all the time. So mindful people say, can we train managers? No. Managers are born with. That's why that young girl says, but if you are not, non-reaction is very difficult to teach. Because reaction is what we are learning. But opposite of it, called non-learning, deconstruction, and just be human being. And this is a very well-planned racket. The Buddha gone there. Now all Buddhists do not know this kind of event, which is not significant event in the Buddhism. Of course, significant racket. I mean, good role model, but unless otherwise he reminded the root cause of Sundari from the Bhikkhu Bodhi's translation, we can explain it without Sundari's event. We can explain the theory. Because in this sutta, the case history is not there. It is only in the commentaries, and it's another book known as the canonical Maha Nidesa, so much of information about one stanza. So we can go ahead.
So the third verse is, when a person, without being asked, proclaims to others his own good behavior and observances, the skilled say he is one of ignoble nature, since on his own accord he proclaims himself. But when a peaceful bhikkhu, one inwardly quenched, does not boast of his good behavior by saying, I am thus. The skilled say he is one of noble nature, who has no swellings anywhere in the world. So now the Buddha moves on to really get into the crux of this business of views. And he points out that a person who is a hypocrite somebody who, without having the behaviors, proclaims to others his own good behaviors and observances as an example, or as some wise philosopher or something like that, but somebody who doesn't live in line with his own teachings, so as a hypocrite. The skilled say he is one of ignoble nature. So this is considered ignoble. It's not noble to preach nobility and not practice it, but one brings one life's in line with one's life is in line with one's speech. Since on his own accord he proclaims himself. So in a way, self-praise is no praise. So it's just that he is proclaiming since on his own accord he proclaims himself. He just is proclaiming his holiness, but he isn't behaving holy, or he's not. He's just speaking theory, not practice. But when a peaceful bhikkhu, one inwardly quenched. So here quenched means like a reference back to Nibbana. To quench is to Nibbana something. To put out, to quench the light, to quench the fire is to Nibbana the fire, or to Nibbana the light. So he is quenched, meaning he doesn't have the fire of suffering burning inside his heart. So this, what is the kind of behavior of this person? He does not boast of his good behavior by saying, I am thus. So the skilled say he is one of noble nature. The skilled. So this is again, the Buddha isn't giving us the reference of just, oh, what would the ordinary man say? He's actually talking, what would the skilled say? What would the wise say? What would the one skilled here really means, like also like a person who practically knows. They have the skill. So in Burma they have a nice expression that a snake, only a snake can see the legs of another snake. So only a skilled person can see the noble nature of another skilled person. Similarly, like a skilled person will see through the ignoble behavior of somebody who just talks the talk, but they don't walk it. So again, a peaceful bhikkhu is one who has no swellings anywhere in the world. So this idea that that defilements are cankers or blisters, that that they're swellings, they're like a disease. So to be free of these blemishes, these swellings, is like the swellings here are really the swellings of defilements and swelling up of ego. You know, this is the kind of swelling he's talking about here. So to have the peaceful bhikkhu has no swellings. So here again, you can see the Buddha, it's very characteristic of the Buddha to present the dark and then the light. Like, so he's not a fault finder. He points out the bad behaviors of the ignoble person, but he also shows the good behaviors of the noble nature. So in this way, you can see that the Buddha is constructive. He's not destructive. And this pattern of presenting the dark and then the light is very typical of the Buddha. It's a hallmark. Whenever you read the suttas, you can sort of see the fingerprint of the Buddha's teaching because of this pattern. So that's the next two. So if you wish to elaborate on these about views.
That means third and fourth versions.
Yeah. Third and fourth.
So when I started with Tenduval Dhammika, I was quite indisciplined, breaking rules, angry young man, and I directly told him. It was no problem because at the young age, that is what I am also saying. He showed me when he was a lay person, what he was entertaining with everything. Then I told him, I am ashamed of it because I am coming from the Buddhist family. Family members do not know. But he said, nothing worry, they know. So young people are like that. But still, you can be mindful. Then I told, cannot be Bhante because I am a big noble person. How can be mindful? Mindfulness is the very top class meditation. No, nothing to worry. As far as you are ready to accept your weaknesses, you can start. So a lot of talks.
He convinced me. Then I started my influence. Then I asked, what about giving up smoking? Don't do it. Smoke will you. Now you are forceful. One day you will start re-smoking. Then I said, no, I wanted to stop more smoking. Please advise me. No. Smoke will you, mindfully. So it happened me to do all the kind of a misbehavior with mindfulness. Then you feel the friction. You feel the repercussion. Then he told, be holistic person. Be a virtual person, but don't let them others know. Don't let others know. Then only the problem comes. So you can accept precepts and you can behave as you like it, but don't declare it. You know ignoble by your birth, your behavior. And then now you're becoming precept holders, but don't let others know. So when we were in Nillambe, everyone was simple living, high thinking. No one claim as Buddhist. They are white clad people, professors and kind of thing. I found that I am trying to go into this his space. If I am going there, I will be putting boasting and all the kinds of things. But these people teaching me how to behave. And they are very good people. They are not monks. They never have brands. They don't have uniforms. And Venerable Dhammika. Then I came to Venerable Jnanaram. And I told Bhante, this is what my teacher told, that you must be a precept holder but not declare. Then no. If you declare, world can correct you. You know you are eight precept holders, you have a banner, you have a shoulder cloth. Then they will do that after you practice it, declare yourself, will you? And people come, hey, you are eight precept, you can't do this, that. Oh, yes. And then, if you are completely ignoble, one end. The other thing, completely super Samaritan, well-disciplined person. Otherwise, you appear hypocritic. You are not telling what you are doing. But if you accept the changing nature, earlier years I was, I am trying my best to go into that. Therefore, sometimes I break with precepts. But it is not my will, way of life. It happens, I am declaring you. So I am ready to change. Then I would say he is almost like Nibbana. He is almost in Nibbana because Nibbana is something thriving, existing. I am striving. I know I am a declared for some precepts. I can't keep it. But I go to another same kind of person, I confess. I confess. And as far as I am ready to confess, he can't say no. Because he is representing Buddha. So this... confession and accepting your weaknesses is beyond human nature. So therefore, if someone come and confess, give him the fullest support. He may be cheating, never mind. Because this is the only way, Buddha says, Ayati Sangvara. Ayati Sangvara is the life of the dynamic thing of the Buddhism. That means ready to accept others' mistake, ready to declare your mistake, and we two get together and helping each other. Anyamanya vathanyena, anyamanya uttapanena. That is what the Patimokkha says. So we are helping each other, and he is not perfect. I am not also perfect. We are two individual, but we are confessing each other. And therefore, I can say I have accepted this much of precepts, but not up to that much. I have mistakes. But please, be a mirror. Please, a teacher. Please correct me. And that offering is what we are doing at the end of the Vassana season. Dittenava, Sutenava, Parisankayava, Vadantumang Ayasmanto, Pasanto, Patikarissami. Upandita Sayadu says, this is the highest culture in the world. You go to another fellow meditator and says, if you happen to see something wrong, if you happen to see something, my speech, or my heard about something, please let me know, sir. If I also can accept it, I can correct myself. So what a friendship. He's a teacher, but he's a fellow meditator. So these things lost in the human nature. Because we make other person as a ideal for the purpose and says, you please help me. No age, no seniority, no purity. He's just a mirror. That is why Arthur C. Clarke sent a satellite and the rays are going there and coming back. And now we can see the earth. from the satellite. It's just reflecting. So, patisankha yonso chivaram patisevami. Patisankha means with reflections. With your mindfulness or someone's honest reflection. He comes and says, you have done, it is not done for the monks. Yes, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Good. And I am going to tell, if you happen to do it like that, please let me know. But you have to prove it. It is not the imagination. If I also happen to see you, that means you must tell in a credible way, not in a destructive way, not like duttamanapi. So that is very difficult. And once that community happened, that's why the Buddha says, samaggana taposuko, if the people, monks, co-meditators are in accordance, cordial, that is easiest way to meditate. That's why we people are attracted to that kind of a, like a bird of a single feather flock together. We get attracted because we emanate that good vibration. And we must be facilitating it by having some another like-minded people, and we must declare it. We are happy not due to the food, not due to the robes, not due to the scent, this thing, but friendship. So that precepts, declared precepts and undeclared precepts, two things. Declare or undeclare, no problem as far as you are an individual. But you are in a society, you can say, I am a 10 precept holder, 5 precept holder, samanera, bhikkhu. Then other person come and tell. Some people may do it in a bad way, no problem. Then first gatha. People come and talking about agitating you, don't worry. But there are some good-looking people and good Samaritan, they very hardly you can get their opinion. So you must earn it by your fellow meditators if something wrong. So for that, you must not be utterly the rascal. You must not be a Samaritan. You can be in between as far as you accept you are evolving. As far as you accept you are ready to change. As far as you are accepting others' opinion, I would say you are almost Nibbana. Now that situation is happening, that is what people call conscious Sami. They are helping each other. So that's all we have time. So four stanzas finished. So this is going very, very deep. So I don't feel sorry for Sundari. She being killed and put into this thing, but it gave a good case history. Thank you very much taking the thing into the discussion and participation. So we are going to sum up the weekly discussion in English medium.